Thank you, Rachel. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And we pray as we reflect on it this morning that you would open our hearts and our minds to you. Thank you, Father. Amen. So last month, your newly elected PCC invested a Saturday thinking about our hopes and dreams for the coming 5 years. What is God calling us to do? And we discerned that there were probably 3 areas of emphasis that we needed to look at. And we're still reflecting on this as a PCC, but I thought I'd share some of them this morning so that we can be part of the conversation together, so that everybody can take part. So we welcome feedback. We're kind of calling these 3 things the game changers. The first one is abiding in God. Chris Knowles last month reminded us that we needed to stay connected to the vine. God is the vine, we are the branches. And the picture is pretty stark, actually. If we're connected, we're likely to bear fruit. If we're disconnected, we're just fit for the bonfire. And most of the holy habits that we've been looking at lead to this understanding. It's why we gather for communion. It's why we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." It's why we sing, "Abide with me." And as we spend time in God's presence, as Margaret described earlier, we begin to see how wide and how deep is his love for us, as Paul described in our Bible reading this morning. With God abiding in us, we cannot help to become a little more holy as he is holy. As we are filled with the Spirit, we bear the fruit of the Spirit. We begin to see things through God's eyes. How he grieves over the world. So this abiding in God is the first area of emphasis, our first game changer, if you like. So let's pause for a moment and just do that for a second. Father, we do want to abide in you and allow you to abide in us. So please come, Holy Spirit, as we continue to think this morning. It's not all about us. Having traveled to the mountaintop with Jesus, we can't stay there forever. However, reluctantly, at some point, we need to leave the mountaintop and get on with our regular lives. And there's work to do in Jesus' name. And this is where our second game changer comes in. So the first one is abiding in God. The second one is living our vocation. Jesus said, "Go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." In other words, we've been filled up for a reason, to be sent out to make disciples. It's our calling. It's our vocation. And where does disciple making start? Well, it starts, of course, in those places where we meet other people. Other people, perhaps, who have not yet discovered Jesus for themselves. It happens on the fringes of our lives. It happens over the garden fence, in the queue at Aldi, at the water cooler at work. It happens where we meet others, anywhere. Everywhere. It happens in our working lives, in our retirement, when we're at school, whenever we are reflecting Christ because we invested time with him earlier in the day. So the second game changer is to equip ourselves or allow ourselves to be equipped as followers of Jesus and to share our faith with those around us. And so that will involve training and commissioning. It will involve vocation. It will involve understanding our giftings, leadership development, and obviously supporting our mission partners as well out in the world, ELISA and CAP and Food Bank and so on. So that's the second one, living our vocation, abiding in God and living our vocation. And then the final one is growth groups. Our third game changer feels like recognizing what God is already doing in us and joining in. As we invite others to join us at St. Mary's, what we're finding is the real growth is happening in the groups. If we think of Refresh, for example, on a Tuesday morning, where quite often there's 50 people in the room out there, youngsters and their carers. We think of Creative Minds on a Monday afternoon, the Market Day community on a Thursday morning, Christchurch on a Sunday afternoon, the Gospel Choir, some of our home groups. And this might be simply because these sorts of groups are easier to join. If you might put yourself in the shoes of somebody coming in this morning, there's often 200 people in here in this service on a Sunday morning. It's quite a brave thing to come in and walk through those doors, isn't it? And think, well, how do I make a friend? How do I belong here? How do I feel comfortable here? So our third area of emphasis is making sure that all of our groups are hospitable, all of our groups expect to grow, and to make sure that each of our groups are open doors to faith and church. So there's three things: abiding in God, living our vocation, and also living in groups, hospitable groups. So for a few minutes, I just want to concentrate on the first one of those, abiding in God, being filled up. In our Ephesians reading, Paul prays that out of his glorious riches, out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And later on, he says it so that his power can be at work within us. When I was a kid, we used to go to Weston-super-Mare fairly regularly on a Sunday afternoon. And Weston-super-Mare, I give you pictures, there's sand, there's donkeys, sandcastles, there's a pier that's just been refurbished, fish and chips, and most of all, there's paddling. You can paddle for miles at Weston-super-Mare. It never takes you out of your depth. You can go, in fact, the low tide mark is exactly a mile from the high tide mark at Weston-super-Mare. So every tide comes in a mile and goes out a mile. And it's really shallow. You can paddle and paddle, and if you don't get stuck in the mud, you can return to tell the tale eventually. But just to the north of Weston is a place called Sandpoint, which is the lower limit of the River Severn, the Severn estuary. And it's the start of the sea, the Bristol Channel. And suddenly, at that point, it's deep enough for the world's largest vessels to come in into the Avonmouth docks. So there's a few steps from being estuary to channel, a few steps from paddling to drowning, if you like. And I wonder if some of us spend our lives of faith paddling in the shallows, hoping to go deep with God, wanting to go deep with God, maybe desperate to go deep with God, but just, in fact, paddling further out, like me at Weston-super-Mare as a kid. And we just can't understand how to take that step into the deep. I think there's a clue in that reading this morning from Mark of Jesus healing the demon-possessed man, the demoniac, as he's called. He's in the region of Gerasenes, in Decapolis, which is the 10 towns around Galilee. He's demonized by everybody. He lives in tombs. He runs around probably naked. He's bound by chains that he can break at will. He's pretty dysfunctional, more dysfunctional even than us. He's tormented by dark spirits. He talked with Jesus. These spirits talked with Jesus. And they called themselves legion, for they were many. And in the end, Jesus had compassion and sent the demons into a herd of pigs. And they in turn rushed into the lake and drowned. It's a very, very dark story. But what I'd like to focus on is what happened next. The people became uncomfortable with Jesus. I wonder why that was. Was it because the pig owner was a bit cross? Was it because they were a bit scared? Was it because they couldn't really face the encounter that would change their lives in the way that had happened for this man? And they asked Jesus to leave the region. And as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who'd been demon-possessed begged to go with him too. That's what you'd expect, isn't it? A new disciple, healed by the rabbi Jesus, becomes a follower. He wants to spend every waking moment at his feet learning, being filled. But Jesus didn't let him. Jesus said, "Go home to your own people, tell them what the Lord's done for you, how he's had mercy on you," and the man obeyed. He told everyone in the 10 towns how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Let's reflect on this for a moment. It might well be that we've been at the top of a mountain. Maybe there will be moments in a Sunday service like this that feel like a really special experience where we encounter God. Maybe we've had an experience of healing, maybe in a home group. Maybe we've had an experience of the Holy Spirit deeply at an event. But those experiences only bear fruit in our lives when we leave the mountaintop and go out into the world, our mission field. That's where we remain close to Jesus, because that's where the Holy Spirit wants to accompany us. So Jesus says to this man, I want you to go home and tell everyone what God has done. He wasn't sending him away. He wasn't rejecting him. He was calling this man who'd been so broken, so tormented, straight into the deep waters. The deep waters of the mission field, back to his community. Jesus had renewed him and filled him. It had been wonderful for him, those moments. And they will stay with him forever, and they will have healed him forever. But it also appears in those few moments, Jesus had equipped him so that, what do we find a chapter later? 4,000 people sitting around Jesus' feet in Decapolis, listening to him. Have you ever wondered where those thousands came from? It's quite likely that this previously troubled man, whose life had been forever changed by Jesus and had been sent by Jesus back to his people to tell them what God had done, had been the catalyst for many in that crowd of 4,000. So when Jesus returned to preach in Decapolis, the healed man had prepared the way. I'd love to be one of those people that Jesus trusts to prepare the way for Jesus. How about you? I wonder, are we preparing the way for Jesus in the lives of our friends? Are we preparing the way for Jesus where we work, where we play, in our relationships? Jesus is going to be there anyway, with the broken, with the needy, with the weary. And if we go to them too, we are going with Jesus. We are walking with Jesus. Our reading this morning suggests that, yes, we should expect great things of God in church this morning. We should expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We should expect to be changed. We should expect that to feel wonderful. But unless we then decide we want to play our part in the mission of Jesus, bringing life and light into the world, into a place desperately searching for God, we might always be walking in the shallows, rather than in the deep. We may be paddling miles and miles in our faith journey, just like me at Weston, but not yet finding the ocean depths. The two are connected. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not only partly so that we can have a great experience, it's partly so that we can have assurance of God's grace and forgiveness. But it's also then so that we can change the world with Jesus. Maybe we can only be filled afresh, for example, this morning, if there's enough room created in our hearts because we've given away what we've previously received to those around us in mission. That life-giving water that we've received from God, rather than trying to hoard it for ourselves, are we purveyors of it into the world? It's interesting, in my experience, often it's a brand new follower of Jesus, just like the demoniac here, that has immediately an impact on those around them. And that's really quite encouraging for us old hands very often. They don't know they're supposed to move slowly. The creator of the universe has enveloped them and filled their soul. And now they have power and purpose in their lives. They pray and God seems to answer. They start telling their friends, and the friends start coming to Jesus. I don't know if I've ever told you about when we were planting a church at St. Peter's, there was a cul-de-sac. And in that cul-de-sac was a guy who came to St. Peter's one morning, out the blue, no faith, no background, began to walk with Jesus and told his family, brought them. So a couple of Sundays later, there were four or five of them there. Told his neighbor, five or six Sundays in, there were two families there. And by the end of the year, I worked out 3/4 of the houses in his cul-de-sac were in the congregation of St. Peter's, finding their way in faith. I wonder, that new faith. But we can have it too. If we give it away, we can receive more from God. We'll give us that feeling of new faith all over again. If we give away what Jesus gives us, we have got room to receive the Holy Spirit again in our lives, to be built up, to be encouraged, to be reassured, and then equipped to be sent out to give it away all over again. There's another story in the Bible shortly after this that says Jesus met a woman at the well. And she had an amazing healing experience. And again, he sent her back to the town, to Sychar, to tell others. And because of this woman, a mass of people, so many that Jesus described them as ripe for harvest. It's interesting, they would have been wearing white and they would have been coming in their hundreds to him. They would have looked like sheaves in a field, ripe for harvest. The woman had prepared the way. What a contrast to Jesus' own disciples who'd been to the city and they came back with bread. The previously broken woman went to the city and returned with the whole town because Jesus had filled her with the Holy Spirit. Here in Ely, are we coming back with just bread or are we coming back with people, with the harvest that is ripe in Ely? Let's remember that we were once in trouble, an isolated woman, a troubled man. So that when we come here each Sunday morning, our desire is to be filled with the Spirit, not just for ourselves, because we'll just remain paddling in the shallows. But when we come here on a Sunday, let's be filled, healed, transformed by God's Spirit, so that we can be then sent out into God's mission field, so that others have a chance to know the God who has given us freedom, hope, and life. It can start with a simple act. A prayer for your friends or your co-workers, your boss, your employees. A prayer for the people that you hang out with. Commit to pray for them, that God would show up in their lives, that God would make himself known to them. Can we commit to this, asking God to fill us up so that we can be sent out? Can I encourage you for a moment? You may want to just, if you're happy to do this, hold out your hands in front of you. To receive from God. Thank you, Lord, that we have such a privilege of coming together on a Sunday morning to receive from you. Thank you that we can come to the mountaintop on a Sunday morning and be filled with your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, please. Do that work in us. Father, if you need to make us feel uneasy about something in our lives that we need to stop, that we need to come to you for forgiveness and healing, if there's something that detracts from our life with you, please renew us, Father, in your Spirit. Please fill us with your Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you forgive us, you heal us, you restore us. Please come, Holy Spirit. But then, Lord, in that same Holy Spirit, send us out amongst our community, our families, our friends, our colleagues, strangers. We want to step into that life of love, that mission of the one that was crucified for us. Father, thank you that it doesn't take a lifetime of learning. It just takes a heart that has fallen madly in love with you and that cares deeply about our community. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us up and send us out. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us up. Send us out. May your kingdom come in Jesus' name.